Okay, so we're in Daf Ayin Aleph tonight. I'll begin on the last line on Ayin Amud Beis 70b, last line, page 140, last line. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina said, "Shekadosh Baruch Hu mitahir shvatim." When a Kadosh Baruch Hu will, like, in other words, tease out the tainted family lines. In other words, this will come up in the future, like in time of Mashiach, there'll be some people, and it'll come out their family lines may have had Mamzerim in there or things like that. Shivtosha Levi Mitar Tefila. So the Shevet Levi is going to be entire first. Shenemar, Yashav Mitzarei Mitzaher Kesef, Ben Levi. It says, now this is the Nevuah from Malachi. It's talking about Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi is going to come, and he'll sit and be mitzarei from mitar kesef. He'll like smelt and purify the silver. That's what the pasuk says. B'tihar b'nei levi, v'zikakotam kazahavacha kesef. He'll purify them like gold and silver. Vayu l'Hashem magishem mincha b'tzedakah. And they'll be for Hashem like offering mincha b'tzedakah with righteousness. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Oh, just 1 second. Just give me three lines and I'll pause. Okay. So now. That's one source. Now the Gemara quotes a different opinion. So the first opinion says that the people who are Tamei are going to be separated out. In other words, it's like they're the dross from the silver. In other words, the dross is separated from the silver, and the silver will be here, and the dross will be left on the side. But there's a different opinion now. Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kesef Matayer Mamzerim. Shimon Levi says that money will be Matayer Mamzerim. So the simple shot means like money has big impact on people. For enough money, maybe it's a sad commentary, people make a shidduch. Family's fine. Anyway, he says, so kesef mitzarim mamzerim shenamar yashav mitzarech mitzarech kesef. So he learns the pasuk that, in other words, he'll be that the Eliyahu will come and be mitaher the kesef. In other words, even like the dross will become tahor. In other words, not that he'll separate out the dross from the silver, but the dross will become tahor. Then my magishe mincha b'tzedakah, Yisrael. So with this malach, Rabbi Yitzchak says that tzedakah, Hashem did a kindness with Klal Yisrael, that a mishpacha, that like a taint, assimilated into the family, nitma. In other words, it'll be like water under the bridge. All right, 1 second. Let me just do a few things, and then we'll talk. So first, let me do Rashi, the top line of Rashi. Kesef Matar Mamzerim. So this is the second opinion. He says, Hamantuma Yisrael Mamunam. So Rashi learns that they had like infiltrated Klal Yisrael because of their money. Vu goreim lahem shi taharu. He, Eliyahu, will cause them that they'll become purified. Shlatilavo ain't a Kaddish Baruch Hu mavdilam. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to separate them out. So many families have intermarried with this family, he's going to leave it all well enough alone. And then it says, "Shenemar v'yashav mitzrayim mitar kesef, otam." So he learns the beginning of the pasuk. This is the second version of Rabbi Shimon Levi. He says that those who had, intermixed with Klal Yisrael because of their money, v'seifdik Sidkatosh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is the kindness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, she'enu ma'avdilam, he doesn't separate them out, elahol sh'nitmu nitmu. Since they intermarried within Klal Yisrael, he's going to leave well enough alone. Rabbi Shimon Levi, sfir lehi mitaher, lav ma'avdil p'sulein ka'amar. Shimon Levi holds, when it says mitaher, with simple pshat mitaher, I'm taking out the impurities. The impurities are on one side and the pure things on the other side. That's the first pshat. Second shot, Rashi says, Matayer means that which is impure is going to make Tahor. He says, Alav ma'av yupsulein kamar elamataram umachshiram kulam. He's going to make them all Tahor. Okay, let me just do a few lines and I'll pause 1 second. Now, this is from the daf, this is from the Yala daf. So Rashi's shot we did already. So the Rif interprets the Gemara differently. So Rashi learned that the people, the line of the Gemara was that he says, Kesef Matayer Mamzerim. So Rashi understood it that, like, the money that they bought, like, to marry within Klal Yisrael, Hashem will purify it. But the Rif interprets the Gemara differently. He says Rabbi Shimon Levi is referring to Mamzerim who use their money to purge their children of their mamzer status by the method suggested by Rabbi Tarfon that we did on Shabbat. A wealthy mamzer could purify his children by buying a shifa, marrying her, and then freeing the children. So the Rif is learning the whole pshat differently. In other words, metayer, that the wealthy mamzer were able to be metayer, their progeny. Now, the Machna offers a third pshat. He suggests that the mechanisms by which Mamzerim will be purified in the times of Mashiach is by retroactively uprooting the Kiddushin of their great-grandmother who produced the original Mamzerim by committing adultery. Let's say a person had an ancestor who had an adulterous relationship. Right. So Hashem will retroactively nullify her Kiddushin by declaring the Kesef Kiddushin, the Kiddushin money that she was given for Kiddushin retroactively not to be considered Kiddushin money, rather Matana or Hefker. In other words, the Chachamim are going to uproot the Kiddushin retroactively. So he's saying in the future, there's the Machna, that's a different shot. He's going to say in the future, Eliyahu HaNavi will nullify the Kiddushin of the ancestor if that was the problem. He says, by nullifying her Kiddushin, all her descendants are purified of their mamzer status, since in retrospect, she was not an Eish HaDish, married woman, when she committed the adultery, and thus her children were never mamzerim, if the mamzerim is from a marriage. Hence the expression, Kesef Matar Mamzerim, Mamzer will be purified by retroactively transforming the Kiddushin money into a gift or a hefker. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So, and I have a lot of Gemara to do today, so we have limited time for questions. Okay, so the first halacha we said was Rabbi Chama bar Chanina said when a Kadosh Baruch Hu was metaher the Shvatim in the future, and go to Mashiach, Hashem will purify the Shvatim. He'll purify Shevet Levi first and foremost, and the idea is that he'll. With this Mahalach, he's going to separate the people who have tainted lineage, and he's going to start with Shevet Levi, and that's one shot in the pasuk. So, entire kesef means like when you smelt silver or gold, you get the pure silver, and the dross is smelted out. So that's the way he'll do with the Klal Yisrael. That's the first shot. Then the second shot was that kesef metayer mamzerim. The money is metayer mamzerim. So Rashi learned that the mamzerim, if they're loaded. So people will marry with them, and they're happy to have like the shidduch, so they'll turn the other eye for it. So in retrospect, he'll this is different pshat. He says this is mitzayir, like he says that like v'yashav mitzarif mitzayir kesef, the yonavi will be mitzayir. That which was tainted will be mitzayir because they're already intermarried. There's so many people connected with them. And then we had a different pshat. The kesef is mitzayir means that these mamzerim will use their money to remove their taint on their own. From the Manzeris, like the Rif says, like we're using Rabbi Tarfon, they'll buy a shifcha Kanani and have relations with her, and that way they'll mitayer. And the Machna says, Terpshah means Kesef, that Eliyahu will come and be retroactively uproot the Kiddushin of the ancestor that committed adultery. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did? Did you? Okay. All right, 1 minute. Yosef's asking a question, 1 second. Because it says, okay, Yosef asks, how does it prove Levim are first? So the second line, Yeshav and Sarif Matar Kesef, the Tihar B'nai Levi. Levim Matar B'nai Levi. So it's saying the B'nai Levi are first and foremost. Okay? Okay. All right. Who's got in the Zoom world, who's got a question?
With a Kohen and a Grusha, did they do anything to void the Kesef Kedushin of that first marriage of the Grusha?
So. I mean, I don't know, but you could say maybe within this. I mean, he's talking about Mamzerus here in this sugya, but maybe you could say within the sheet of the Machna, maybe they will do something like that. I don't know. I don't know. All right. Any other questions? Okay, let's go further. Okay, now remember, no questions till I get to the next pause. Okay, we're around 8 lines down on Ayin Aleph and Aleph at the 2 dots. So Gufa Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. So we had the statement earlier in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda said, "Name Shmuel." All the lands are Isa. Isa means like a mixture. It's like a dough that's got salt, it has bran in it, it has flour, it has water. So it's a mixture. So all lands are Isa Eretz, meaning they're more tainted than Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Isa Babel. Eretz is Isa compared to Babel. It means that we said that Babel was the purest lineage because remember that Ezra cleared away all the tainted lines when he made Aliyah. That's what we learned. So the Gemara says, Bimei Rebbe, Bishulaso Babel, Isa Eretz. In time of Rebbe, they wanted to change it around and say that Babel is Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael has the most pure line. And the way that Rebbe Lewis was mentioning is that, a number of centuries had passed since Ezra, when Ezra made Aliyah, and now Rebbe's living, it's like maybe 6 centuries later. And you know, so things could change in the course of those 6 centuries. And then in Aristotle, they had the Besdin for many years, and I don't know about after that, but things could have changed. So the time of Rebbe, he wanted to make Babel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Lahen, or they wanted to make, they wanted, people wanted to make Babel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz would be the purest. So Amar Lahen, so Rebbe said to them, Kotzim Atem Asinim Li Bein Enai, you're putting thorns between my eyes. So the Rashi explains that Rebbe was a descendant of Hillel. Hillel was from Babel. So Rebbe's family, even though he's from Malchus Beis David, he's from a Babylonian family. But now they want to make it not so pure. So if you like, let Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama deal with you. So Nitpal Lehem Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama. And it's interesting because we had the beginning of the sugya, Rebbe Chama Bar Chanina. Now we have Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama. He says, Nitpal Lehem Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama, Amar Lehem, Tachmu Kublanim Rebbe Shmuel Bar Yosi, Shamar Mishum Aviv, Kol Aretzot Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, all lands are Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael to Babel. No, Babel is the purest way. So the way, now the ways of the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying is Rebbe could have made the statement himself, but he didn't want to, he they felt like maybe he's like sort of an interested party. So Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama made the statement, and that's, you know, shoring it up. So he says, we may Rebbe Pinchas b'shulaso Babel Yisrael Yisrael. So again, time Rebbe Pinchas, they wanted to make Babel the less pure. And it means like this, that the people who, if you're, in other words, you have like, you know, different levels of tainted or pure lineage. So the one that's at the top of the ladder, so you don't have to ask questions. You can marry anybody there. So in time Rebbe Pinchas, b'shulaso Babel Yisrael Yisrael, they want to make, again, the same thing. Eretz Yisrael would be like the superior lineage. So Amar Lehem La'avadav, so Rabbi Pinchas said to his servants, "Shani Omer Shnei Dvarim Ben Medrash. I'm going to say two halachim from the base Medrash. Luni Barisa Barutu. I want you to grab a stretcher. I can't run. You, I'm in the stretcher. You grab the stretcher and then dash out. I don't want to have to deal with this. Barutu. Ki ayil. So when he came to the base Medrash, Amar Lehem. So he made one halacha to kind of like distract the people. Amar Lehem Ain Shchit Lo from the Torah. He says on a Torah level, there's no shchita for an oath. So it's machloket Tanayim. And Rabbi Leibowitz said that Rabbi Lazar HaKapar says in Shechita Lo Ben HaTorah. The Rebbe, I think, holds there is Shechita, but he says in Shechita Lo Ben HaTorah. Ad Yatvei B'Ka'ayni Ba, so when they're looking and examining this and they're focused on that, Amar Lahu, then he mentioned another bombshell, Kol Aretzot Yisrael 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 Babel. In other words, Babel has the best lineage. So, and presumably this was taking place, I assume, in Eretz Yisrael. Says that Lu Barisa Baratsu. Then the servants grabbed him in the stretcher and ran. He says, Ratsu Achrav Lo Yu. So the people ran after him and they didn't overtake him. They wanted to ask him what's going on. Yashvu Badku Ad Shehi Gilu Sakana. So they sat down and they analyzed different families until it became a sakana for them. In other words, they were, you know, calculating or figuring out which families had problems, and then that was running into problems with these families. Who Pirshu, and then they separated. They didn't get involved with that anymore. Amr Yochanan, Heichala, Heichala is like a Lashon Shvu. It means by the base of Mikdash, where Yochanan's living after the court base of Mikdash. But he says, by the Heichal, Yadenu Hi, he says, Yadenu Hi, meaning the it's it, we could reveal which mishpachot, which families in Eretz Yisrael are tainted. About Ma'aseh, Gedolei HaDor Nitmu Ba. But what can I do? Because Gedolei HaDor have already like assimilated with them, and it's like too difficult to even reveal such a fact. Samar like Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar Rabbi Yitzchak Mishpacha Shnitma Nitma. So he, Rabbi Yochanan, held like Rabbi Yitzchak. He says that a family that's assimilated in Nitma Nitma. The way Rabbi Wroblewski was saying that if it's like a Sapik Mamzerah, so you leave it. So Amar Abaye Apanan Nami Tanina. So Abaye says we also learned this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Mishpacha Beit Hatzrifa Haytava Eber HaYarden. There was a family Beit Hatzrifa on the east bank of the Yarden, and that had a good lineage. Their lineage was impeccable. Rechakab ben Sion ben Zro. But this fellow ben Sion, he was like, I don't know who he was, but a strong fellow. He, you know, told people not to marry with them. He says, Oda Cheren Haita, there was another family that did have problems, the Kirva ben Sion ben Zro. And ben Sion says, no, everybody should marry them. Obviously, this fellow ben Sion is not a good situation. He says, Kagon Elu, so families like that, meaning that they, in other words, the Gemara is saying that Mishpacha Shnitma Nitma, the family assimilated, means we didn't know about the family. But he says, Kagon Elu, these were known families. They were known either for Tara or known for Tuma. Eliyahu Balatami Latayar, the Rachik Lakare. So when Eliyahu shows up, he's going to be metame, the one that was tame. The Gemara doesn't identify which family, and be metaher the Beit Hatzrifa, the Rachi Kulakarb, distance others and bring close. To go on Elu Diyadin, there was families that were known at the time of a Mishpacha Shnitma Nitma, but a family that was never known, it was wasn't public knowledge who had problems or anything like that. So it's going to ride. So Tana, Tana Tona Braisa Oda Cheren Haito. There was another family that was known as a tainted family. The Rotsu Chachamim L'Galota. The Chachamim didn't want to reveal the name of that family. But the Chachamim would transmit that information to their sons and to the Talmidim once every 7 years. Some say twice in 7 years. Amram Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mistabrik Mandabar Pamachap Shavua. Nachman Yitzchak says it's more logical, like the opinion that they would transmit it once in 7 years. And as between the two, the less frequent, you know, notification makes more sense. Kind of like we learned in the Braisa, Hareini Nazir Imlo Egleh Mishpachot. So let's say a person says he's a Nazir if he doesn't reveal like the families that are tainted. So being a Nazir, the Gemara takes it as like an Aveira. In other words, like when you're a Nazir, so he's got two choices. He could reveal the families that are tainted, then he won't be a Nazir, or not reveal and then be a Nazir. So he says, Arei Nazir Imlo Egleh Mishpachot, Ye Nazir Velo Yigleh Mishpachot. So the Braisa says he should take the path of being a Nazir, not reveal it. So as between the two, you know, once in twice in 7 years or once in 7 years, that makes more sense. Okay, let me pause for a second here. And then there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. You know, we mentioned earlier on line five, Ancient Ofman HaTorah. So Rabbi Leibowitz was talking about why was that the halacha. So he was quoting from a sefer. In other words, like simple shaykh could just say he said an interesting halacha to distract them, and then he mentioned the other bombshell that, you know, Babel is the pure lineage, and here in Eretz not so pure. But he said, that, you know, if you look at different animals, so a chaya is not offered on the Mizbeach. Chaya is never offered on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, and an oaf is. But notwithstanding that, the oaf, according to this opinion, doesn't have shechita. So the fact that the oaf is on a higher level spiritually doesn't mean that it gets shechita, right? Okay, so you said the same thing with the families. Like you could say, like, here's Eretz Yisrael, here's Chutz La'aretz. So why is it that the people in Babel, well, why are they entitled, like, they're getting, like, superior lineage? But sometimes it works out that way, and then they want to say that the way that goes. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far?
What is Malika considered to be? It's not considered...
No, 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 no. You're. What's the right phrase I'm going to say now, Fern?
Mixing kasha
with mun. 100% correct. Yeah. So we're not talking about Malik and the Beis Hamikdash. This shita in shita open a Torah means on a Torah level, nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash. If a person wants to have a bird, you don't check the bird. What Leibowitz was saying, you have to do something with the simanim, but it might be like nechira, like stabbing the simanim or things like that. But according to this, the bird doesn't require shechita. That's what we're saying. All right. So, all right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says here that the families that were known at the time that they were tainted families, but like this, what's his name? Ben Sion. He says, like, this is a tainted family. I want everybody to marry them. And then there's another family that was totally pure. He says, no, don't marry with them. Those Eliyahu will identify and say, right, but other families that married and it wasn't known, and then everybody that's married, and then he's not right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let's go on. Okay, so now let's see back on the Gemara. All right, we're around, you know, midway down in the wide lines on the line with the small gimel. So I'm a Rabbi Barbar Chana Riyokanan Shem Ben Arba Otio. Now here's just a related thing just about revealing things. We spoke about revealing tainted families, but revealing that, like, you know, there's a Shem Hashem Yud Ke Vav Ke, so we pronounce it Lashon Adnos. In other words, we say like Ado, like Adnos is the way we pronounce it, but Yud Ke Vav Ke, that's not the real pronunciation for it. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohenim would pronounce it the way it's written. And then there's a deeper meaning to understand the Shema Hashem. I mean, the simple pshat they say is Hayahovah B'yeh. He was, he is, he will be. But anyway, so the Gemara says Yochanan says that the Chachamim give the information over to the Talmidim once in 7 years, and some say twice in 7 years. Amrav Nachman says it's more logical that once in 7 years. That is brought in because it's similar to the previous Gemara. He says, "Dechiv zeshmili." So when Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "Zeshmili olam." This is my name forever, but li'alein ktiv. But it's written chaser, and Chazal darshan out that it's like to be hidden. So it's hidden. So it makes more sense. The less frequent, discussion of it. Okay. Now, Rava Savar, the Midrash of Apirka, Rava thought he gave a public shiur. He thought he would explain everything there. Amarle Husava, a certain old man said to him, we know Tosfos says in Chulin, some say it's Eliyahu Navi, whenever it says a Husava, La'aleim k'tiv. It says La'aleim, that it should be hidden. So you shouldn't like Doresh Barabim, how to pronounce the shame and what all the meanings are. Rabbi Avina Rami, k'tiv zeshmi, u'ktiv. So it says in Torah, it doesn't say, Zeshemi b'zechri. This is my name and my memory. Zeshemi b'zechri. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu lo kshani nichtav nikra. In other words, nichtavani b'yudkei. In other words, Zeshemi, my name is written with a yudkei. In other words, like we have the four letter Shem Hashem. V'nikra ba'alav dalet. In other words, Zeshemi b'zechri. In other words, this is my name, but zechri. This is the way I should be mentioned. So Tana Rabbanan, Barayishona. There's another Shem Hashem that has 12 letters. I don't know what the 12 letters are, but there's a 12-letter Shem Hashem. So he says they would give it over to everybody. Misharabu and the people who are not too discreet, were numerous, shibakuna. So they changed it over, only give it to people who are discreet. In other words, people are quiet, they don't publicize everything. But shibakuna, mablino, and the snuim among the konim. Be mavliya, and it was when they're duchening, so all the kohanim are saying in the base of Mikdash, we'd be saying the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, not the way we pronounce it, but they pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei, but they'd be singing a melody, and while they're singing the melody, some of the other kohanim who were discreet would say the 12-letter Shem Hashem. He says, and here's a raya, Rebbe Ligwitz mentioned this, that it's like you see about singing during duchening. In other words, here you see the Gemara mentions the idea of singing during duchening. So Tanya, I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was himself a Kohen. He says, "Pamachad I followed my uncle." That is his maternal uncle. The maternal uncle was a Kohen. Rabbi Tarfon was an uncle. So he followed the maternal uncle up to the duchen. But it sounds like in the Beis Hamikdash, it sounds like gadol. I like bent over my ears to hear what the Kohen Gadol was saying. The I overheard that the Kohen Gadol. He was like saying this 12-letter Shem Hashem, but we were all saying the 4-letter Shem Hashem. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, when they were doing Duchen, yeah, he's a Kohen also. He's got a Duchen. So this says Amar Rav Yehuda Marav Shem Ben Arav Imushtaim Otiyot. There's another Shem Hashem, a 42-letter Shem Hashem. In most of the Talmud Mishnah Tzanua, we only give it to somebody who's very discreet, Banav humble, Bomei Bechatzi Yamav is already over 35 years old. Beino Kohes, he doesn't get angry. He doesn't get intoxicated. He doesn't hold grudges. And the idea is that we don't want the person to use the Shem Hashem to harm people. We call it Yodo v'Hazayirbo. The person knows it and is careful with it, but Mashamru v'Tahara, and he guards it in the state of Tahara. Ahuv l'mala, he's beloved above, and Echmad l'mata, he's precious below. His fear is, among all the creatures here. He inherits two worlds, this world and the next world. All right, one second.
While you're one seconding, can I ask a question?
In 2 minutes, 1 second. Okay, so let's look at the first wide line in Rashi. Mablino, he would swallow it up when the other kohanim were singing. There was ones who didn't know it. In other words, you have the 12-letter Shem Hashem and the 4-letter Shem Hashem. So the other Kohanim, the garden variety Kohen, to know the 4-letter Shem Hashem is also something. But the other Kohanim knew the Shem Ben Arba Otio, Shu Moshchim and Kolim Ben Ima, when they're extending their voice with song, so the other ones, it's a longer Shem Hashem. So they would rush to say the 12-letter Shem. And but the people would not hear the 12-letter Shema Shem. It would be drowned out by the 4-letter Shema Shem. And he says, "Benima Bisum Kol" is like the blending of the sign sound. Shkorn Tiruf. So I looked in the Masechta Gemara. They said Tiruf. They quoted from the Yad Ramah. He wanted to say that it's like that. Tiruf means like it's like scrambled up, but it means that they're saying the 12-letter Shem Hashem, and the Kohanim is saying the 4-letter Shem Hashem. Okay, just 1 minute. I didn't forget about you, friend. Okay. All right. Let me just read this. This is from our Daf Yomi Digest. Okay, the Ramah writes Kohanim should sing a nigun when they recite the following words of Yerushas Kohanim. I don't know. He's got anyway. He says Yivarecha, Shemrecha, Elecha, Shalom. The reason he explains that each word is the end of a separate bracha. So I would think it should be Yishmerecha. Yeah, the words he said. He says the Ramah says. I need to see this Ramah. You know, Chelak Beis. Okay, 1 second. I don't think he's writing what the Ramah said. Beis and Mishnah Berurah, 1 second. Let me just get it. Okay. So this is what the Bukhari know. Mechaber says, he says that they flip their hands from south to north. That's something I feel a little different. He says, but then the Ramah says, he says that they would lengthen out with the singing of those words, Yivarecha and Yishmerecha. Let me say, Yivarecha and Yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem. I know, he says, Kol Kamihen who soap bracha with the Atzma. All right, so anyway, so let me just read this and I'll pause. Okay, Ramah writes that Kohanim would sing a Nigun when they recite the following words, Yivarecha Kohanim, Yivarecha, Yishmerecha, Elecha, he doesn't have Vichuneka, and then Elecha, the Fash Shalom. Anyway, the reason he says that each word is the end of a separate bracha. The Ruach HaShulchan explains the purpose of the singing is to bring the Kohanim to a higher level of inspiration and connection to Hashem. The concept is based on a pasuk in Malachim that indicates that song causes the spirit of Hashem to rest on a person. I think it's by Yehi Kein HaGein Am Nagein, but Tehiyeh Lav Ruach Hashem. He says, the Sefer Yesod HaYishurin suggests two explanations to the custom of the Kohanim singing during Birkas Kohanim. 1 second, somebody needs to be muted because they're making noise. 1 second. Okay, one explanation is the capacity to convey a blessing is enhanced. One is a state of happiness, and singing will bring the Kohanim to a state of joy. Secondly, Birkas Kohanim is the time when divine presence rests on the congregation. Divine presence resides only when there is joy. Anyway, so you want to have a state of simcha for Birkas Kohanim. Then the custom of the Kohanim singing during Birkas Kohanim is found in the writings of Trumas HaDeshen, who cites her Gemara in support of the custom. Although he supports the practice of the Kohanim singing during Birkas Kohanim, he warns against switching tunes in the middle, since it could lead to the Kohanim losing track of which word they're supposed to say. The Teshuvas Siach Yitzchak writes that he is not recorded in Sfarim, or it is not recorded in Sfarim, what tune the Kohanim are supposed to sing when reciting Birkas Kohanim, but it's logical to assume that the tunes have been passed down generation after generation and can be traced back to Har Sinai. This concept that music can be traced back to Har Sinai is found in the works of the Pada Shulchan, who cites in the name of the Gra, the Moshe Rabbeinu brought with him from Har Sinai many different tunes. In a related matter, there's a dispute about the permissibility of singing a nigun after a bracha. Shubas Menachat Yitzchak writes that the nigun would constitute an interruption, and therefore, for example, one should not sing a nigun in between the bracha b'motzi and eating bread. Let's say, for instance, the Moshe Lachman Aretz, and he goes, ah, oh, like that. So the Shubas Menachat Yitzchak holds that that's a hefsek, but the Shubas Shevet Alevi disagrees and maintains that a nigun is not an interruption as long as one sings the tune without words. You know, I was thinking about like on Simchas Torah, at least we Ashkenazim, we sing a melody, you know, during the Kriyas HaTorah, and the idea is that it shouldn't be a hefsek. You know, in other words, let's say during Bereishis, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Echad, and then we do a melody, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Shini, we do another melody, but we don't say words. So it could be Talui with this, though, but I don't know. But it's so widespread, I can't imagine the Menachas Yitzchak held otherwise. What? Yeah, that the way we Ashkenazim will always do. Okay, so let me hear from everybody in Zoom land. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, what does it
Oh, I'm
bring to
burning
the
the new Al
party?
Moshe. What?
What does it bring to the party for Rabbi Tarfon to say that he went up with his uncle, who's a
No, that he
Kohen
said
from the
he's
mother's
saying,
side?
in other words, that he heard the Kohen God, he heard them saying the 12 letter Shem Hashem.
I
That's what.
understand, but why is he saying that he went with the uncle from the mother's side? What does that change? What does that bring to the story?
I don't know what I
Only
don't know
one
what
to quote himself.
I don't know what he mentions about the uncle. I don't know why he mentions about the uncle.
Okay, and
Okay.
the other thing is, what is the source for the 70 letters Shem Hashem?
It's a 72 letter Shem Hashem.
72,
That
okay.
yeah, that's brought down. The Gemara in Sukkah Rashi brings it down. It's by Ana Hashem Oshkina. We did this in Sechet Sukkah. There are three Pesukim that have 72 letters, one after the other. And the way Rashi learns that each three letters is a Shem Hashem, but that's all I have with that.
So
Okay.
then why was the Kohen Gadol using the 42 and not the 72?
No, the Kohen Gadol, you're mixing things up, Fern. The Kohen Gadol was using the 12 letter Shem Hashem.
Okay, and not this, but we were talking now about 42, right?
The Gemara mentioned there's a 42 letter. There's a 12 42 letter Shem Hashem also. All right, that's
Why
all
are
I
they
have.
not mentioning the 72 here? That's the question.
I don't know. Okay, now let me see further in the Gemara. Now,
That was with 42. There
you're
is a
more
separate
the.
number that we make out with
Okay,
42.
wait, one thing at a time. It could be Fern. It could be with the 72 letter Shem Hashem. Maybe that's known. It's remember those three psukim. This is by Yet Moshe Gedol Yam by Yashav Yam. It's like Aniva Ho. Those are two of the Shemot of Hashem. Remember we learned this. Okay, what do you got for me, Aaron Moshe, quickly?
I have two things. First of all, the three psukim of what the Kohanim say, that I saw it brought down that it's a mechap on the Chet HaEgel, that because it's each pasuk is for a different one of the chagim. So the three chagim are mechap on the Chet HaEgel, and you got 15 words there in the three psukim, which is equal to the 15 days of Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. 15 words in the three psukim. And then they say
You
it's
mean Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos? Okay, and
yeah.
what else?
And then they say that the three psukim have 60 oisyos total. If you count the oisyos, there's 60 oisyos. So the Chet HaEgel is bittel
Okay, very nice, very nice. Okay, I got to move on. Okay, I have to move on. I'm sorry,
v'shishim.
Daniel. Okay, who's got a quick question? Who has something? What?
Not so quick.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry, Ruth. I got to move on. Okay, maybe if we have time at the end, we'll do more. Okay. Let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, now. Okay, one second, one second, one second. One second. Okay, yeah, we're six lines from the bottom. Amar Shmuel Mishmei de Saba. Shmuel said the name of an older person. Baba Bechazka Kshero. If you're in Babel, the presumption is that the person's a kasher. I mean, somebody in Babel, so the presumption is he's got good lineage. And this I learned that there's some soul. Sha'ara sod, other lands, because pasul I have to assume the person is pasul, until I know that he's kasher. Eretz Yisrael muchzak. Now that's only Babel and Sha'ara sod. As far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, and we don't understand this, and we must be patient. He says, Eretz Yisrael muchzak pasul. If the presumption is that the person's pasul, he's pasul. Musaf kasher, kasher. So the Gemara says, "Hakufa kasher." The Gemara says, focusing on the one for Eretz Israel, it's hard to understand the statement concerning Eretz Israel. The same in the other things, I understand. So Babel, I mean, the person is kasher. Everybody else is good. Other Eretzot, France or whatever, I meet them pasulness, they prove them they're kashers. But Eretz Israel is confusing. Hakufa kasher. I'm in muksa pasul pasul. You tell me if there's a presumption that he's pasul. Astama kasher. So, if I don't know anything, I assume he's kasher. Bahadatani, then he say muksak kasher. If I know that he's kasher, hastama pasul. So, what is the default? Is the default in Eretz Yisrael pasul or kasher? So, Amar Rav Huna bar Taklif Mishmei de Rab, lo kasher. So, Rav Huna says there's no contradiction. Top line on Amud Beis. Kan lahasiyo isha, kan lahutzi isha miyado. So, if he wants to marry a woman, so then I assume that Stam is not good. In other words, then I assume that you have to prove that that's the stama pasul. In other words, the guy is looking to marry a woman in Eretz Israel. So stama is pasul to like establish the bona fides. Kan lahotzi ishami ado. But if he already married a woman, then I'm going to assume that she's kosher unless you prove that she's pasul. Amrav Yosef, kol shesichato kibabel, the way the Bach has it, masin lo isha. Rav Yosef says, anybody who's got a Babylonian accent, so we assume he's Babylonian, and we'll assume that his yichus is good. But today we have all these tricksters, they're able to assume Babylonian accent, so we're not going to rely on that. So Ze'iri habakamishtamit minei de Rabbi Yochanan. Ze'iri was like avoiding Rabbi Yochanan. Da'aba amar le'nasi brati. Rabbi Yochanan, who was his Rebbe, he wanted Ze'iri to marry his daughter. Usually that's a good thing. The Rosh Hashiva wants you to take his daughter. That's the best compliment. Yomachar habuka azli ba'orecha. One day, Rabbi Yochanan and Ze'iri were traveling on the way. They came to a pool of water. He says, Arkavel Rabbi Yochanan akatbe. So Ze'iri put Rabbi Yochanan on his shoulder. So now he can't avoid him. He's got him on top of him. He says, Vikama Averle. He's taking Rabbi Yochanan across the body of water. Amarle, while he's in transit, Rabbi Yochanan says to Ze'iri, if you imagine the thing, it's like a very awkward situation. So Amarle, Oraitin Chera Bantinla and Kashran. In other words, our Torah is good, but our daughters aren't good. Meaning, if you look at Rashi, on the second narrow line, he says, "Oraitin Shere Bratin L'Kshera Tamidiyata V'Toratik Shere L'Po B'Tiena Inchakaves." My Torah is good for you, but my daughter you don't want. He says, "So my Dantik, what's your thinking? Ilema Midanana Saruksin Alumi Babel Kane Levie." Maybe you're thinking, you know, Babel. You're from Babel, so Babel has the greatest lineage. I'm from Israel. Israel doesn't have the greatest lineage. And Mishnah says that there were 10 social groups that left Babel. So, Atu Kani Levi Yisrael Kulu Sliku. Do you think that all Kohanim Levim left Babel and went to Eretz Yisrael? No, some were left behind. So, just like there were some Kohanim and Levim that were left in Babel, so there were also some Mamzerim left, also some Kalalim. So, everything isn't so pure in Babel. So, you know, it's not so terrible marrying into. Right, right. When it's saying like you think like the families in Babel are so much superior to Eretz Israel, so Babel isn't so great. So he says here. So Ishtamita. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan apparently forgot Hadamar Reb Laza, that which Reb Laza said when he had this on Shabbos. Lo Allah Israel Babel Allah Shasak Yisolat Nakiya Ba'Ala. Then he made Babel like pure flour. In other words, in Achinami, Ezra did tease out all the tainted families from Babel. So. All right, let me just do a little bit more, and then we'll pause. So, Ula ikla the Pumpadita the Bay Rabbi Yehuda. Ula came to Pumpadita to the house of Rabbi Yehuda. Kazi the Rabbi Yitzchak the Rei, the Rabbi Yehuda, the God of Lonasid. He saw that Rabbi Yehuda's son Rabbi Yitzchak had, was older and wasn't married yet. So, Amarle my Tamalok convincingly more it's the Rei. How come you're not getting a shidduch for your son? He says, Amarle miyadan mehecha insid. He says, where do I don't know where to even get a wife for him. So he says, in other words, I don't know that she'll be miuchas. In other words, you look at Rashi, Ezo Isha miuchasid. I don't know where to find, in other words, we're in Babel, and in Babel things should be good, but I don't know where, I don't know where we'll be so miuchas. And again, the idea is where we spoke about this earlier, that between Ezra leaving Babel and the time of Ula and Rabbi Yehuda is many centuries. So things could have mixed in there in between. So the Gemara says, so this is Ula. So Amar Leis, Ula said to Rabbi Yehuda, Atu anan midinim mehecha katina. Do we even know where we came from, I and you? He says, Dilmani harach dechtiv. Maybe we're descendants of that which the Pasuk says in Eicha, Nashim b'tzion inu, that the women were ravaged in Tzion, b'tulot ba'rei Yehuda. In other words, so the Goyim are mixing in with Jewish women. Now, how do you know that we are not descendants of like of this sort of union? Kasher. We say even we are be true. So the offspring is kasher. That's not a psul. He says but maybe we're descendants of those who the Navi says hashokvimo mitochein, that they're lying on marble beds usruchim al arsotam. So struchim. The simple pshat means spread out on their beds, but he's going to learn it differently. But Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Eilu Ben Adam Amashin Ma'im Bifnei Mitoteim Arumim. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina says, Sruchim means like like it means dabar masriya, something very putrid, something very offensive. So he's saying, so not spread out, but it's like offensive. So he says that refers to people who would, you know, urinate before their beds, arumim, when they weren't dressed. We got it by Rabbi Bau. Rabbi Bau, like, both have shot with scorn. So, but the Pasuk then says they'll be exiled in front of all the other exiles. It's not the greatest, you know, I wouldn't write a letter of recommendation for the person, but does he have to go in the first and galus because he urinated in front of the bed when he wasn't dressed? The second white line. The pasuk is referring to people who would eat and drink with one another, who same zubazu, and they bring their beds together. These married couples, in their and then they swap wives. Nothing new under the sun. They swap wives. They pollute their beds with shechvat zera. That's not theirs. So maybe Ula is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, how do you know that we're not descended? Here the Navi speaks about these things. How do you know that our lineage is so perfect? Amar lei, heki na'avi. So he says, so how should I conduct myself? How do I find a good shidduch for my son? So Amar lei, so Ula said to him, zil batar shtikuta. He says, look for the silent one, or silent people. Ki hai debatki b'nei ma'arava. Like in Eretz Israel, they would examine people that way. If two people would be arguing with one another, they would see which one is quieter first. In other words, two people having a fight, which side is quieter first? Amri, they would say the one that was quieter first is the better yichus. Let's look at Rashi, the 10th narrow line. Zil batar shtikuta, the 10th narrow line in Rashi. Okay. Zil batar shtikuta, sha'ala chamish b'kat shat tamid. Find a quiet family. He says, "Shestam b'nei Mariva heim psulim." In other words, the people who are contentious, they have fights with everybody. They're mestam psulim. Shemitok psulan shu porsha mehem, because maybe they have a psul, so people aren't intermixing with them. Not true eva, so they have a lot of hostility to people. The zikim b'mariva, whom you cheset the Babel, hainu shtikuta. So the yichos in Babel, you discern from the silence of people. Mitok shem shatkanim, they're very quiet people. They're established as being miuchas in Cain. So you look for a nice, quiet family. That's the sima that they're miuchas. Let me just do a few more lines of the Gemara, then I'll pause. Okay, the eighth very wide line or medium wide line. He says, "Amrav shtikut de Babel hainu yichusa." So Rav says, "Silence in Babel, that's the yichus." Inis is true, but if Rav lebei bar shafi chala. Rav came to the house of Bar Shafi Kal as a person, but it means like the one who pours vinegar, but that's his name. Ubadakbahu, and he examined the family. My Lab Yachasuta, does it not mean that Rav was examining their lineage? Lo, Bishtikuta. No, he was examining to find out, are they the quiet types? He says, Hakikamar Lahu. This is what Rav was saying to the people. Paduku ishake ilo shake. See whether they're quiet or not quiet. All right, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Now, Amarav Yudamarav, Imra'ita Shnei Ben Adam Shmetgarm Zebazam. If you see two people having a fight with one another, Shemes Pesul Yesh Bechamihem. One of them has got like something wrong with his lineage. Ve'imanicha Otolik Dabek Echad Bechaberu. So, when a Shemayim, in other words, it means like this, that in Shemayim, if they see that somebody's not ruined to intermarry with somebody else, so they'll have them, like they'll have a fight. And so that like they'll be like the families will be removed from one another and so Minishmaim they're like helping them out. Let's look at Rashi on this. He says, therefore in Shmaim they instilled this fight between them. He says, back in the Gemara, Amar Bishum and Levi, you see two families that are fighting with one another, okay, let me pause here for a minute, and now we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, all right. Ruth, what did you have before? I'll give you a special waiver. What did you have? You had a question.
Why
before?
Do I need this waiver? What kind of waiver? My question is,
it's from a previous sugya. That's the waiver. Go ahead.
It is not from a previous sugya. It's from this one.
I mean, since my last pause. Okay.
The hierarchy is with Bavel on top and Eretz Yisrael below it. And this right. doesn't hold. Why? Because with the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael, and Bavel is free of impurities, as you just said.
Okay. Yeah. So like Yosef was saying, we discussed this on Shabbos, but at the beginning of the Mishnah, we said, the first Mishnah in the Perek says that when Ezra made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, he took all the impure family lines and he brought them with him. And he left in there in Babel, he only left pure family lines.
But a few minutes ago, you spoke about the possibility of there being impurities even in Babel also. So
well,
it's
that,
not...
Well, that was the issue. Maybe from the time of Ezra, maybe things kind of, went downhill afterwards. That's the issue that's playing in the Gemara.
It's such a downside to the whole structure that Eretz Yisrael takes second place.
All right. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's move on. Now, let's take a look back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're 15 lines from the bottom. Amar Papa Sava, Mishmei Derav, Babel, Beria. Babel is healthy, means that the Yichus in Babel, that's the best. Mishon, Meta. Mishon, which is an area that's near Babel, is like dead. It means they're all Mamzerim there. He says, Madai chole. Madai is sick, and it means, in other words, he's making like he's making the tzushtel to like different people with health situation. So chole Rashi learns rubam kasher, most are kasher. The zemiyat the tzul. Just like most cholim live, some cholim die. So the people who die, that he's madame to the people who have mamzerus. So madai is chole. So madai is a sick nation, means most of the Jews there do ha'ark sheirim, but some have psulim. Elam goseset. Elam is goseset. It means that most of the people there have psulim and some are kfirim. Umabin cholin legosin. What's the cholin and gosin? They're both sick. Rov cholin lekayim. Most sick people recuperate. Rov gosin lemita. Most gosin die. So it means rov gosin. So goses means they're mostly psulim, but there are some kfirim there. And the cholim, they're mostly good, but there are some psulim there. And hechan hibabel. Now, this is you need a map for this, but we'll do the best we can. And there's different ways to, I'm going to do the way our school took it. On Hechani Babel, we said, is the pure area. But I have to know where the boundaries of the pure area, because once I leave Babel, I don't have it anymore. On Hechani Babel, so Babel, is between the Tigris and the Euphrates, right? The Chidekel and the Prat. The Tigris is to the east, and the Prat, the Euphrates, is to the west. So there's the space between those two rivers is Babel. So he says, on Hechani Babel, Rav Amar Ad Nahar Azat. Rav says to the east, the Tigris, like heading towards Iran, is like there's another river, Azak. He says it goes to there. Shmuel Amar Ad Nahar Yuani. And Shmuel says to the east, to the river Yuani. La'el B'diglat Ad Hecha, up river on the Tigris, how far? Rav Amar Ad Bagda Ba'avda. Rav says up until the cities of Bagda Ba'avda. Shmuel Amar Ad Nushani. Shmuel says even further till Mushkani. Below Mushkani Bekal, but Mushkani is not included in the Heter. This is Va'amar B'chibra Abba Amar Shmuel Mushkani Harich Gola Liyuchsin. But Shmuel said Mushkani is like the Gola, which means like Pumpadita. Pumpadita is like part and parcel of Babel. And Shmuel, and here we're saying Shmuel holds Mushkani is not a part of Babel, but then Shmuel made a statement Mushkani is like the Pumpadita. It says Ella Ad Mushkani, Mushkani Bekal. It means still Mushkani, and indeed Mushkani is included in Babel. That's a good place. Now, the Tatlif B'diglat Ad Haifa, going downriver on the Tigris River, how far down? Amarav Shmuel Ad Apamya Tato'a, till the lower Apamya. So Tarte Apamya Havyan, there are two Apamyas. Chara Elita v'chara Tatiata, Chara Kshir v'chara Psula. One's an upper Apamya, one's lower Apamya. One is Kasha, one is Psul. Between Chara l'chara Parsa, between one Apamya and the other is one Parsa. V'kakapya Hadade, the two Apamyas, in other words, one Apamya is filled with Mamzerim, and one Apamya is filled with people with Ksherim. So the two Apamyas are makpid with one another. They don't want to get mixed in with one another. But I feel newer lomoshli adani. Even if they would have like fire in one home in the one Apamya, they wouldn't lend the fire to somebody else. In other words, they didn't want to have anything to do with the other Apamya. The simanech the psulta hamishtaya meishani, and the siman of psul is if they speak meishani. Meishani is an area that's near Babel. So if you're speaking meishani, that's siman that you're not kosher. La'el b'prad ad hefa. Now, switching over to the Euphrates River, upstream on the Euphrates River, how far you go for Babel? Rav amar ad akra de tulbakti. Rav says till akra de tulbakti. Shmuel amar ad gishra de b'prad. Shmuel says even further till gishra de b'prad. Rav Yochanan amar ad mabra de gizma. Lion Abaye became Rav Yosef ad the Rav. So Abaye, and let's say Rav Yosef would like curse Rav Shita that you go to Akra to Zubakni. So Ad Rav Laid Ad Shmuel Laid, he's cursing Rav, not Shmuel. Shmuel says even more. He says, El Laid Ad Rav, Koshkin Ad Shmuel. Yeah, he cursed Rav Shita and certainly Shmuel Shita. He says, the Ibai Dema, Leolam Ad Rav Laid Ad Shmuel Laid. Or else I say, no, he only cursed Rav, he didn't curse Shmuel. But Gishra Debe Prat, the Tatoi Haba, who is when Shmuel says Gishra Debe Prat, that's a lower point on the river. He says, Habakai. And then on the top line of Nine Beis Ben Aleph, Ba'idavu Dalyu Parsai, means the Persians have moved the Gishra, the bridge. So the Persians moved the bridge, and they moved it further away. But when Shmuel made the statement, he's talking about the lower bridge, so it's like a closer area than Rav. He says, all right, I think that's it for now. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Wait, Daniel's got a question. I'll leave you 1 second. Okay. Media.
I know, but is that the Persians of today?
I don't.
Madai.
Again, Madai is an area that's within the region of Persia. I don't know if it's the same as Persia. I think it's like.
Is there enough mina for today in terms of people who are descendants of different areas of the Middle East?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm just going to say the Torah, though. Is X amount better in Eretz Yisrael, right?
Say again, repeat.
The Torah learning.
Right. Well, that's what the thing of the Gemara Baba Kama, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in a few months with Rav Kahana when he went to Eretz Yisrael. So right. So the Gemara says that Dilhon Havi Dilhon Havi. In other words, that which I thought was theirs is theirs. Theirs is really ours, whatever. But you're right. So the Torah was stronger in Eretz Yisrael.
So
right.
that was the essence of my question before.
No, you were asking about lineage. You said how could lineage be better in Babel? So that's what I spoke about earlier. That in Echinami Eretz Yisrael is on a higher level, a Ruchni level, but it was better lineage in Babel. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. Let me end the recording. One second.
I was going to say one thing.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, 1 second. I'm ending the recording.